for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, November the 27th, 1983. Final service of the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance seminar held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bill Smith is the speaker of the morning.
Father, we thank you this morning that you do reign and we reign with Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you for the presence of your Spirit that has been amongst us and is amongst us. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow and move here this day over your people and over the ministry as we praise and worship and magnify thee. We thank you for the privilege we have of this morning of uplifting the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we come this morning with thankful hearts, praising and worshiping thee. Help us, Lord, to truly rejoice in the blessings of the Lord that are ours and the revelation of your word that you have given unto us, that we may walk and truly be a people that follow after holiness and righteousness for your name's sake, that we may be those people that you're seeking after and looking for, that will be a people holy, acceptable in thy sight for thy glory, that you may use us to magnify and glorify Jesus and to bring in the kingdom so that he can rule and reign, not only in our hearts and lives, but in the hearts and lives and in the kingdoms of this earth, that Jesus shall be ruler of all. I praise you for that privilege of standing here this morning and magnifying and uplifting and acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. We bless our nation. We bless those in authority over us. We remember them this day. We lift up their hands before thee. We stand as intercessors in their behalf, lifting them up and bringing them in remembrance before the throne. And we also stand to bind up the powers of Antichrist and pull down the principalities and powers of Satan and declare that we put them underfoot and we loose the glory of the manifestation of the power of God in this land and in our lands, so that Jesus may be Lord of lords and King of kings in all that we survey for his name's sake. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Well, it is hard to realize that this week has come and gone, and that some of you, we don't know when we'll see or meet you again in this setting, but the Lord bless you, and those who have left and those who are yet to go, the Lord bless you and his blessing rest over and his anointing on you, that you'll never be the same again. I trust that will be true in every one of our lives, that we'll never be the same again. Amen. I appreciate the ministry of the Brother Bill Smith that the Lord has given him and the burden that he's laid on him for the people of the Lord. I appreciate that. We are beginning, I don't know how we're doing it, but we are beginning to move into another phase of our ministry here at the campground. And the Lord told us even before we ever came here that eventually this place would be, by prophecy, that this place would also be a school. And I don't know how to really put that into operation yet. Neither did I know how to put this much into operation, but it has happened, and the Lord has taken care of it. But we are, by the help of the Lord, planning next fall to start some type of school here where we will teach the kingdom and deliverance. I don't know how long or short or anything, I don't know. But we feel that it's time that we started and put this in motion. And only the grace of God and his wisdom will help us and supply the helpers for it, because it's beyond our comprehension at this time, but we feel that it's necessary to do it. And so you remember us in prayer and hold us up, and the Lord will give us wisdom and guidance and direction in that way that he has showed us that eventually we are to go. And I, in our paper, the Lord impressed on me that it was time to start making a change in the format of our paper, and I don't really know how to do that, except I did make one change in the heading of it. Some of you probably didn't even notice it, But the Lord gave me years ago on our living room floor one day, the Lord gave me the name for our paper. I was just reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, the scripture just stood out before me, almost in raised letters, of the name for our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory. That's 2 Peter 2 and 17. It reads, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Lord just stood out from there and kind of changed it, where but voices from his excellent glory just stood up, and that became the name of our publication. And then this last issue, the Lord had me add underneath of that, declaring the kingdom. On our last publication, you'll see underneath the voices from his excellent glory, it says declaring the kingdom. And it's the time of the kingdom. And we are to declare the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord has also laid on our hearts, which most of you know, that we must acquire a word processor and get our mailing and all set up, because it's just takes too much time and it's too time consuming to handle it the way we currently mail. And our mailing list is continually growing. It's up well into the 30,000 now, which we mail across the nation. And we try to mail every other month overseas, because we can mail us. It doesn't cost us any more to mail the two together than it does to cost us to mail each issue. So we try to put two issues together to mail overseas. We mail several hundred, I suppose, maybe about 2,000 altogether, to about 40 or 50 other countries, nations besides America. And we have every since from the beginning of our publication, because we have friends all across the world that keep track of us and what the Lord is doing. Even though we may not hear from them every two or three or four years, they still keep track of what the Lord is doing and the blessing of the Lord that's being poured out as they receive our publication and read what the Lord is doing. The Lord also showed us that we should be part of, or I should not say it that way, that we should visit, not necessarily be part of, but we should visit. And he showed us this years ago, and I've been kind of slack in it the last 4 or 5 years, that we should visit other ministries across the nation. And that we be separated from other ministries. That when they have conventions and they have special meetings, as much as possible that we should attend them. Regardless of feeling about them, we should still make ourselves present there. And this last year we have visited around the nation in several places of other ministries. And I don't know how we can spread ourselves so thin, but I believe that we need to do that more in this coming year. And also the Lord showed us that we need to visit more of the prayer groups and areas around that support this ministry and have supported it from its beginning. And yet there are many of them that we have never darkened their door. And that isn't because we don't want to or haven't wanted to, because there's not been time that we have been able to feel that we would be free to leave this facility. Patty has done a wonderful job, and others in help in taking care. But as they are maturing, we feel that we can leave oftener now than we have in the past. That we have confidence in their ability to carry on when we're not here. And we all have to grow in the Lord. And we appreciate the labors and the help of those that help here, the labor with us, and carry the burden of the labor, which is a great burden, let alone the finances. The finances is a burden that we cannot carry, that only you can carry, and others across the nation that the Lord has laid and is laying on their hearts to support this place. And it's a miracle of God, the financial support that God has given us, when month by month, many times, just as last month, Irma and Patty were, especially Irma, was getting a little perturbed about the finances for last month, and she opened a check, opened a letter, and I think there was a check in it for $5,100. God took care of last month's finances, and he's taken care of this month's finances. But that's the way it's been ever since we've been here. But the Lord has just laid on people's hearts many people we haven't seen, and many we've never known, except by the mail, that God has supplied the finances to carry on and to build what you see here as you come here and as we minister unto you. So consider that for us, and we appreciate your remembrance of us here. Week by week and month by month, there's many who support us weekly across the nation. There's many who support us monthly, and we appreciate it because it's your efforts are just as important as ours. And when you supply us with finances, you may wonder about it and think about it, but your reward is the same as ours. The scripture teaches us that they who came and labored the last hour received the same as those who labored all 12 hours from sunrise to sunset. They all receive the same wages. So that tells us also that there's no big me and little you. That tells me that God looks on the heart. And just as he did with the widow's mite, he said hers was more important than the man who put in so much. And her reward was greater, for the other man got his reward by being seen. But she had her reward laid up for her that could not be changed. So we're laborers together in the things of the Lord. We labor together as we labor in truly unto him. Now there's a difference in laboring for yourself and laboring for the Lord. And there's many ministries across the nation that you know and I know as you travel who labor for themselves. But help us to be ones who minister unto the Lord. That our ministry is truly yours and mine. Whatever the Lord lays you to be, a ministry and to labor in, that your ministry is a ministry and ours is a ministry that's unto the Lord. Unto him, to him be the glory and the honor and the dominion and the authority and the power forever and ever. Praise be the name of the Lord. And may that truly be from our hearts that we minister unto the Lord. And as we minister unto the people of the Lord, and as you minister and we minister to each other, we minister unto the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Thank God for that beautiful worship service this morning. Praise the Lord. We want to say again, this has been such a privilege of being here in this camp. And brother and sister, I know that it's God's will for this place to have a school in it. For deliverance and to bring forth the kingdom, because, brother, they work hand in hand together. Because that's why I'm saying that deliverance and this kingdom message comes together and brings a balance. Because there are people that's preaching kingdom message and their life is rotten as dirt. And, brother, if they'll come through deliverance, that God will clean them up, they will come into a real walk, to a real message with God. So this is why that I know that God, and I'll tell you, Brother Glenn doesn't own up to it. Of course, that's a gift from God. Talking about wisdom, that man has got a lot of wisdom. And I said to his face, I'll say it to his back, away from him, from his presence. And God's going to give the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability and the help, because it takes manpower to bring this about. But God has given this beautiful facility, and we're going to see it brought about in this area. Praise the Lord. Sister Nina got up here this morning, said it looked like Gideon's army. But you know, it's not the majority that's going to get this done. It's the minority. It's the minority. I think of Gideon's army started out as 32,000. It got cut down, got cut again. It got that cut down to 300 men. 300 in your Bible speaks of divine deliverance. How long was Noah's ark? 300 cubits. 300 men. And they lapped water like a dog. Why did they lap water like a dog, Brother Smith? You try to slip up on a dog while he's lapping water. He's watching as he's getting that water. I want you to know that there's a lot of God's people They're not watching because they think that everything that glitters is gold. Brother, that's why he said watch and pray. Because you see, God's bringing a leadership in the earth today that's watching and praying. That's why that Gideon's men would lap water like a dog. They were very watchful. And they didn't take everything hook, line, and sinker. We're going to look at Matthew 12 here. Yesterday, in that service, I agree with Sister Nina. I felt such deliverance coming into our being yesterday. But I want to tell you something, folks. We're going to be leaving and going our ways home after the service this morning. Verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now, it's empty, it's swept, and it's garnished. Folks, you that has received deliverance, do you know what this year's empty, swept, and garnished means? Became idle. Don't you go your way and become idle. Because an idle mind is the enemy's workshop. So don't go your way and become idle and say, well, I'll come back next camp. Glenn and Irma will deliver me again. But you get into the position and you stay active before God and you stay into this book and you eat the word of the Lord. And in doing so, when you come back to camp, then you can join in with Irma and Glenn and you can help deliver this creation instead of needing so much help yourself. Now, don't you ever think because you came one time that you know as much as Glenn and as Irma knows. And that you can deliver. That doesn't mean that you know it all and that you don't need help. But that remains that you have received help. And you've learned to be busy in the things of the Lord and studying and praying. You said, but Brother Smith, I don't have nothing to pray about. Would you pray about this little peon preacher and the five churches in Mexico and the orphanage and then the work here in Hot Springs and you'll be busy. You'll be busy. You'll be busy. And so, don't leave the house idle. Don't leave it empty that the enemy that can come back. And what happens when he comes back? Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself and enter into that and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also with this wicked generation. So I want to admonish you with that this morning. Because someone said to me. And then someone said to me again. A few times since I've been here. Said, Brother Smith, do you believe in a literal hell? I've never found in the book where God put any air conditioners in it. And brother, if we don't get it together, we're going to see a lot that's going to burn in the devil's hell. Come on. I never did find where you air-conditioned it. It's going to burn. And brother, it's going to burn throughout eternity. This morning, turn with me to John, chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. All right? This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about the grace of God. And I would like for us to look now at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare record of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Now, grace of God has a beautiful number in the Word of the Lord. It's number 5. We see that is the hand ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What are they for, Brother Smith? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Till we all come into the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we'll be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's why that it is for. Now, you said, but Brother Smith, I've always heard about grace. Do you know how large a part of the Word of God, the grace of God is? Now, let's notice something. I've learned to just study and study the Word of the Lord. When I come to a city in the Word of God, I want to know what that city means. When I come to a number in the book, I want to know what that number means. I want to know what that name of that individual and what it means that's in that scripture. So now let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's look here and see about a great expression of God's grace. 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to start at verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Well, that's almost 10 feet tall. Some measurements say it's 9 feet and 9 inches. But that's not exactly what I'm so interested this morning. How many knows that when David went out to take care of Goliath, they put Saul's armor upon him, which was a natural armor, a carnal warfare, and our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. So David said, I haven't tried them. But did you notice something that you must study out in this to prove the grace of God? Goliath has 6 pieces of armor upon him. And we're going to look at these this morning just for a little bit as we come through, passing through into the Word of God. But David said, I put my trust into the grace of God, so I'm going to the brook and I'm going to get 5 smooth stones. 6 had the number of and had the ability to be great if it had only come into 7. But it never arrived to 7. So 6 is the day of man. But now let's notice something here in this 6 pieces of armor. Here you had the helmet of brass and the coat of mail made of brass. Now let's read. He had the helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. There's 2 pieces of his armor. The weight of the coat weighed 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs. This is your 3rd piece. And a target of brass between his shoulders. And he had a staff and a spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield, which is your 6th piece of armor. Brother and sister, this was the grace of God that was being expressed unto him. So David takes the 5 smooth stones, which is by the grace of God. And brother and sister, today, when you become a great warrior in the army of the Lord, it's going to be the grace of God plus nothing else. So David gets the 5 smooth stones, and he says, I'll take that uncircumcised Philistine, and which that he did. So you see, it's very important today to know the grace of God that's in mine and your life. Now, I want you to turn with me into Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, and let's look here again at the word of the Lord. Showing the grace of God. This is the first evangelistic message was preached in the Bible. Unto Adam, also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. When Adam and Eve discovered that they had become naked, they sewed fig leaves to cover their nakedness because their eyes were opened. You see, mine and your covering is not going to get the job done. It's going to take the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then what God did, he just preached the message there. God took these innocent animals and cut their skin, Sister Irma, and clothed guilty man with it. Because guilty man is the one that had missed God. Those animals, they hadn't done anything to deserve death. But you see, God was talking about his lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. When Abraham was in the mountain worshiping God with Isaac, Abraham looked at Isaac and he said, God will provide a lamb. But Brother Glenn, that was the lamb that was caught by the horns. You see, God said he will provide the lamb. And Brother, that lamb, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, was slain before the foundation of the world. And that lamb, which was Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Then I want us to look here again up above in this third chapter of the book of Genesis. Notice when Adam and Eve were driven from the garden. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Jesus became a curse for you and I. But brother and sister, just because that he became a curse for you, you just don't take it for granted. You have to come into his presence to be brought out from under that curse. You have to appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to your life personally to come out from under the curse. All right, Jesus became a curse for us. Then let's notice again, for thy sake and sorrow. I read in Isaiah chapter 53, he was the man of sorrow. So you see, this is why that I said to you time and time again, when I'm talking about the in Christ in life, 1,000 times, no, don't you ever decide that Brother Smith is trying to say that Jesus is dissolved in the body because they are preaching that today. Brother, without Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. But brother and sister, I want to point out to us how that Jesus, our Savior. Then notice again, in sorrow shall they eat all the days of thy life. Then notice thorns also and thistles, which was the evidence of the curse. This is why that I want to eat that word and ask God to allow that word to leap off in those pages by the Spirit into my being. I can handle it, Glenn, when I get a splinter in my finger. Or working on automobiles, getting a little piece of steel that's off of my worn-out bearing. Or something into my finger. And my wife starts digging in there. I said, honey, you're not digging for oil now. There's none there. And she says, but honey, I've got to get down below that thing to bring it out. But oh, Brother Doug, my Savior took the evidence of that curse. He wore that plaid of the thorns around his brow for me. He stood there, brother and sister, and he took that curse because he wore those old thorns around his head. The mockery that we crown and cave. We crown and cave. Brother and sister, that's why that it almost tears my heart out when I see people preaching that Jesus is dissolved in the body. Because the Word of God said, the same Jesus you seen go away shall return in like manner. Brother, he wore that crown of thorns. He said, I will recover the curse in my humanity. But brother and sister, you don't just sit around and say, well, he did it. Now, therefore, I've got it. Brother, you appropriate that to your life individually. So he stands there wearing that crown of thorns. The grace of God, we said he came, was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace, truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Sell it not. Then let's notice again these thorns and thistles. Then notice verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. How many has read when my and your Savior Jesus, the man, the Son of Man, that became flesh and lived, and we beheld him, and we, as 1 John says, and we handled the word of life. In that Garden of Gethsemane Glen that day, the Bible says he cried out until his sweat. What did we read? Sweat. His sweat became as great drops of blood. Medical science says that's just before that the heart explodes. Brother Glenn, he stood there in that garden. We were sold out in the garden. But that man stood in that Garden of Gethsemane and he bought us back. We were sold out through the first woman, Adam and Eve, but brother and sister, we have been brought back through that woman again. And that's not that you and I come and say, Hail Mary. Brother, I want to tell you something while we're digging around that bush a little bit. How many remembers that day when Jesus said to his mother, Woman, what do I have to do with thee? At the wedding that day, turned the water into wine. You said, Brother Smith, the Bible says to honor our father and our mother. Yes, we do that. But he was not being disrespectful to his mother, Brother Glenn, because he knew that his mother was standing in need of redemption just like you and I. Brother Glenn, he had to break the earthly tie between he and his mother that she could be redeemed under God. I don't care how many praise Holy Mother of God. She has no deity in her blood. But brother, he broke the earthly ties from that mother because she had to be redeemed just like you and I. Then we see him in that garden as that sweat became as blood. You tell me that my Savior wasn't identified with me in every aspect of recovering the fallen humanity. Then we see in verse 24, we see the flaming sword. He took it into his side. You remember when the Bible says they pierced his side, the soldiers did that day, and forward came out water and blood. But brother and sister, that's why that I said we came from God and we're going back into God. When God took Eve out of the side of Adam, the Bible said he closed Adam's side up. But brother, you don't read that Jesus Christ's side was ever closed up. Brother, we came out of God and we're on our way back into the fullness of the Almighty God. Turn with me now into St. John chapter 1, 29, verse 34. And let's look here. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, how do you taketh away the sins of the world? Well, you see, I told you that Brother Glenn was a giant in God. So then Brother Glenn and I, we became very tough, you know. So we decided that we were going to go down to the taverns and we were going to get rid of all the beer that was in the tavern. We go in there, we're too tough, they're too afraid to jump onto us. So we just go in there and we break them all to pieces. How many knows that we left something undone? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But Brother Glenn and I forgot that they had a factory that was making them faster than we were breaking them. Brother and sister, let's get rid of the factory that's here that's causing this to come forth within you and I. Brother, that we come forth in the Spirit of the living God. Let's deal with the resources that the Spirit are having there right away into every one of us. Let's deal with the factory of it. Come on. Take away the sins of the world. All right. Now let's notice what as we look here a little further. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. John thy record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. It lived with him. Now, I was in North Carolina, preaching a meeting about 2 years ago now. Man came to my motel room. Not only I ministered that morning for quite lengthy. Man came and knocked on my door. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm resting. He said, do you mean that you get tired with the word that flows out of you like that? I said, well, I get rested as well. And he told me that he had got into a baptism, that he was baptized with fire. He didn't even have to wear no deodorant because his body put off no odor. And he said, you mean that that word flows through you and you get tired? I said, but the Bible says that he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I said, come on over here. Sit right here. I mean, you're going to talk now. I said, do you remember the day when there was a record of Jesus' baptism? He said, yes. I said, you remember on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost? I said, the Bible said that the fire came upon him as tongues of fire and it set on me. He said, yes. But I said, you remember when Jesus was baptized? He said, yes. But I said, you remember when the spirit of the dove came upon Jesus? He said, yes. I said, do you know why that the dove came upon Jesus? Because I said there was nothing in him to purge out. And you're saying that this fire is to give you power. Brother, this fire is to burn you out. And to bring forth the very Christ in your life. That's why that those 120 were in that upper room with Jesus. And the tongues of fire came upon them. It was to purify and purge. And to bring them in the very character of God. Come on. It's a wonder I had been whooped all the pieces. But I guess God's so good to me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How come you're tired? I said, well, I haven't arrived yet. I'm on the way. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Come on. All right. Now I want us to notice again. In this first chapter of the book of Matthew, you and I have five women that is brought into the lineage of God. Now, so Tamar, tell me that she didn't need the grace of God applied to her life. Now, if you'll notice something we've got, you tell me that Rahab the harlot wasn't in dire need of the grace of God. Now, you'll notice, and it said the next is Ruth. Ruth is a Moabitess. Ruth came from the union between the ancestor of Lot and the incest between he and his daughters. Did you know that? Ammon and the Moabites came from the incest between Lot and his daughters. There was 10 generations before that they could be purified to come into the lineage. Why is these five women mentioned here in the lineage of Jesus? Brother, because God is showing his grace unto those people. You see, Amulek, they went down in to Bethlehem, Judea, to sojourn a while. I've never seen anybody take a journey away from God and it'd be a prosperous one. Abraham took a step down into Egypt and brought out Hagar. The prodigal son, or if you want to please, I don't preach the prodigal son. There were two prodigals there. The one that stayed and the other one that strayed. Because he gave to them both of everything of their inheritance. The one that stayed there, he didn't use his, and the one that strayed, spent his. Come on. That's strange, huh? But it's the truth. It's the truth. So here is Ruth the Moabitess. They go down into Egypt, they leave Bethlehem, Judea, and go into Moab. And all of the husband ministry dies off. Is this right? Naomi's husband died. They have two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpha. What happened to both of their husbands? They died too. All of the husband ministry died off while they were in Moab. So then Naomi, one day she said, Ruth, go out there and glean. And how many knows that many of us, when we started out, we didn't get to go around the first church very much. Of course, now, they've seen that we've produced, and every once in a while, we're invited to the first church. But how many knows when Ruth goes down there to glean, she is going behind the reapers. Brother, they've already went ahead, and I don't like second picking. She is going behind the reapers, and she's gathering behind them. And brother, that's like this move of God today. They've had their thing, and they've done their thing. But brother, there is a group of people today in this move of God that's going down there, and what they neglected and they rejected and they dropped it off into the dirt, they're doing like little old roots. They're reaching down there and they're getting a hold of that and shaking the dirt off it, and they're bringing forth a fivefold ministry to the front today. So she gleans. All of a sudden, here comes Boaz on the scene. Boaz's name means the man of wealth. All of a sudden, Boaz is told who this little damsel is. Naomi instructed her again, which was the mother of the church. Instructed her again. Said at midnight, at the threshing floor, God, give me your glories, but don't take me down to the threshing floor, Lord. If you're going to inherit any glory of God, you're going to the threshing floor today. And you're going down there. And so, at midnight in the darkest hour, Boaz braided his skirt over Ruth and redeemed her unto him. She had nothing coming. She was a nobody. But brother, by her dedication, by her surrender, by her obedience, she married Boaz, the mighty man of wealth. And brother, today, by our obedience, and by us walking with God, we're going to marry the mighty man of wealth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heavenly Boaz, hallelujah to God, that we're brought in union by His grace. Let's notice a little further as we go on down. Then let's look at Bathsheba now. It don't call Bathsheba's name. Verse 6, and Jesse begat David, the king, and David the king beget Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. What does that spell to us? Bathsheba. Is that right? Bathsheba. Now you tell me that Bathsheba didn't need the grace of God for her life. David looked, as it were, in the balcony, and he lusted after Bathsheba and took her as his wife and produced Solomon, the man of rest. But brother, it took the grace of God to bring this about. Then let's notice again, we have another one. Mary. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Isaiah prophesied and said that there's going to be a virgin that's going to conceive and bear a son. John 1 says he was not born of the will of man, nor of the will of flesh, but it was the will of God. You tell me that that young girl, history says she was about the age of 16 years old. She's been very strange anyway, and she says now she's pregnant by the Spirit. I thought she was a weirdo. Anyway, she faced all of that reproach. She faced all of that, and Joseph, God visited him, gave him a dream, and so then Joseph took her into the hill country of Judea so that she wouldn't be a public example. Is that what the book says? It's in the book, isn't it? You tell me that she didn't need the grace of God. Now, let's notice again. We know that there were 12 apostles to the Lamb of God. But there were three that walked in the inner circle with Jesus. Peter, James, and John. When Jesus called, he called for Peter, James, and John. They went up on Mount Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John is the only three that went up there for Mount Transfiguration. And I said to us, we have no record of John ever dying. How many books did John write of your Bible? St. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and he was the author of the Apocalypse that the Spirit of prophecy spoke through, which is the Revelation. The only man that we have no record of his death. Why? God showing to you and I His grace. His grace. His grace is sufficient for you today. I don't care what you ever encounter. Brother, His grace will bring a storm on your heart. And while we're talking right here this morning, there's been much said about the joy of the Lord. I want to tell you something, folks. There is this emotional joy, and we praise God for it. And brother and sister, there's one thing that I know that's very quick in bringing happiness, and that's singing the song of the Lord. But brother, a joy of the Lord is a sign of maturity in mine and your life. Where is it, Brother Smith? Because whenever adverse circumstances have come your way, and so you look like you fell out of a well, brother, you can stand and have the joy of the Lord. What in the midst of adverse circumstances? There is no sign of maturity if you're swayed with the circumstances. And you're not appropriating the grace of God if you're swayed by circumstances. Brother and sister, God wants to bring us to a place again that we have the joy of the Lord. That joy of the Lord will cause you and I to send portions to whom that nothing is prepared, according to Nehemiah chapter 8. But brother and sister, the grace of God is sufficient for you today. Now, I want us to look at another side of grace. There are people that's using God's grace, and brother, I call it greedy grace. It's not the grace of God, so it's got to be something. So I just call it greedy grace. After they get saved, the grace just covers everything. You do your own thing. Swap wives, drink, and even put on your mustache and your wig and go and play in the barroom so that nobody won't know you're in disguise. I'm not talking about in Africa. I'm talking about in the big state of Texas. Not in my city, but in another city. Brother and sister, today it's not greed and grace. Brother, it's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And brother and sister, God is getting sick and tired of this junk. And God's going to bring forth a pure ministry. And it's going to bring forth a pure truth to the flock of God that they're going to grow up. Because listen, God's going to have some sons just like Himself. Not with a bunch of conglomeration. Well, I know I can't do anything about it, but God's grace will cover it. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore holy, even as your Father which is in heaven is holy." And brother, I still believe it today. And I want to tell you something. I was asked two times in this camp, "Brother Smith, are you a Mason? Do you believe in Masons?" My Bible says, "Don't we have no other gods before me?" And brother, do you think that I am going to be a Mason and make a decree to Lucifer? Not in your life. Brother, my Bible didn't say taper off. It said come out from among it. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. It didn't say taper off or try to do a little bit better. Shape up a little bit. You know what a man told me one time that was working for me? He's a good boy. He's a great young man. And years ago, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he belonged to Catholic Church. And me and him was going out and drinking and partying. And on Sunday morning, he was running down to confession. He told me, he said, "You know, Bill, you're a good man, but you really need to amend your ways." I looked at him and I said, "I'm not doing the same more than you're doing. You and I are doing the same thing together. But I'm not going down to no priest and ask him to forgive me, because, brother, there's only one mediator between me and God, and that man, Jesus Christ. That's the word. That's the word." And he said, "You need to mend your ways." I said, "Well, brother, if I do, you're in a boat with me, and you need to mend yours too. That priest ain't going to do a thing for you." Brother and sister, this is what I'm talking about today. Let's walk out in this earth. You know, the Bible tells us into the book of Genesis, about in chapter 28, verse 13 through 15, "And I beheld the Lord, stood above me and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, I will give it thee." Notice this grace. Here is grace that gives grace.
and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now notice something here. Here is grace that gives grace. And behold, I am with thee. Grace that gives grace. Grace that accompanies grace. Behold, I am with thee. Then let's notice what he says. And keep thee, a grace that never forsakes. And in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee. Folks, you talk about a grace that brings security. What a promise. Now, how many things did he say there? Number one, in verse 13. Verse 15, number 2. Verse 15, number 3. Verse 15, number 4. And verse 15, number 5. Five things that God says to Jacob. I'm going to give you the land and where you're sleeping. I'm going to accompany you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And brother and sister, this is where God has brought us into. Now, and in closing, when Jesus fed the multitude, how many loaves of bread did he have? 5 loaves of bread. 2 fishes, wasn't it? Fed the multitude. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave to his disciples. So this is why that we emphasize to you so much. Don't go around begging God to do everything. I want to tell you something. When I look up on the top of the icebox, or up on the bar, in our kitchen area, there's not a loaf of bread there. I don't have to have the Spirit of the Lord tell me to go get a loaf of bread. I know we're out of bread. So I go get it. And say the same thing to you. Jesus took the loaves and the fishes. He first broke, he blessed, and he gave it to the disciples, and they distributed it. Is this correct? Now, brother and sister, this is what God has done. Now, we have 10 commandments that Moses gave. That's not all the commandments of the Bible. 5 of those commandments was unto God. 5 of the commandments was unto man. Jesus said in the New Testament, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy being. And then what did he say? And to love thy neighbor as thyself. The law and the prophets, they hinge upon these things. 5 to humanity, 5 to God. That's God's grace. Brother and sister, you might say, both years, I wanted you to close this out on a higher note than this. I brought to you the word of the Lord this morning to help you. But brother and sister, again, you're living in this age. A lady came to our church years ago. That was before that I really got a steel backbone. She came there, and we had a good meeting with this lady. She came back. It's been about 12, 14 years ago now. Probably about 14 years ago. I think I've been pastoring about a year. She came back, and she went to prophesying marriages. And buddy, let me tell you something. I don't want nobody prophesying one I'm going to marry, because they're not going to live with it. Besides, that's none of our business. And prophesying unborn babies if it's going to be a boy or a girl. Come on, that's foolishness. That's no play around. That's good. You heard what Pastor said. Witchcraft. And so, my oldest daughter was a young man in our church. And so she was prophesying their marriage. She looked over to my daughter and to this young man. Just try it. You might like it. Buddy, you talk about a father that's got guns that shoots around corners and over the hills. You start getting on my 2 daughters and you got your hands full. Because I love my 2 children. My oldest one's got a grandchild now. And that's exactly what it means. It's a grand. But brother, we're living in age. If it's good, do it. But brother and sister, you and I are bound for the Word of God. the grace of God, because listen, the time's running out when God is going to just, he's tolerated this in the body, but brother, the judgment of God is falling upon this earth today. It's falling. And brother, you're going to see the big ministry. You're going to see him crumble down. Or are they going to straighten up one fly right? Go with God. Let's stand together. But you've been hungry for the Word. And you're talking about the Word. And my cry, God has helped me to leave as much with them as he's given unto me. A lot of people don't want the Word. They want a three-ring circus. We're coming down to due order today. To the order of God. Stand again with Brother Glenn, Sister Irma. Pray with us that we'll always be walking this Word out and in this land, that we'll bring a pure ministry to this earth and to the Church of the Living God. It's time that the Church, to have the reproach moved off from her, that we bring forth the Kingdom of God to this earth. God bless you, dear.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.